91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Today's Food and Dining Edition is an hour-long rebroadcast from January, which focuses on the phenomenon of restaurant noise levels. Simply being able to hear and be heard. It can be a grating and unsatisfactory factor, even in expensive places. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman. For some reason, many restaurant managers feel loud music sets a desirable happening mood. Diners may beware sitting beneath loudspeakers. Some places even pipe commercial-laden radio music along with meals. And perhaps equally disturbing, many diners seem oblivious to the din around them. We'll learn more from Linda and two representatives of the Earpiece Foundation, that's Ear, P-E-A-C-E, coming up on Topical Currents after the news.
I can hardly hear myself think.
Well, you picked this restaurant.
I didn't pick it. It was that darn Linda Gassenheimer recommended it.
Oh, my God. What are you having, the pork?
I don't know. I can't even see the menu. It's dark and loud.
Oh, okay. Well,
how about you?
I'm going to ask. Maybe they can turn down the music?
I bet they won't. Listen to the bass. Waiter, waiter.
You can't hear us.
What are we going to do?
I guess we should leave. Silence. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Our food and dining segment with Linda Gassenheimer is a full hour. And she has a topic which surely reverberates with many of you who dine. Restaurant noise. Linda, I'm sure you've had galling sounds spoil a meal, maybe the entire evening.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm with Joe. Get up and leave if they won't turn it up. But I want everyone to know that I did not recommend your restaurant that you had. Just to let everybody know that. But did you know that according to Zagat, noise is the second most common complaint in a restaurant of restaurant goers, only second to poor service. So on the other hand, restaurants say that often their success is determined by the music and the vibe. And people want noise, is what they say. So my question, is there a happy medium? And our guest today would like to work towards this. Adele Sandberg is the founder of Earpiece, that's P-E-A-C-E, Earpiece Save Your Hearing Foundation. So welcome, Adele Sandberg.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Linda.
Thank you. And also with us is Dr. Sherilyn Adler. She's the executive director of Earpiece Foundation. Welcome, Sherilyn.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Great. We have a lot. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of questions, a lot of people calling in. We'd love to hear from your here. Oh, there's no pun there. From you, our listeners, do you like loud music or noise? Or do you have some questions or suggestions for our guests? We're taking the calls now. Give us a call. It's 800-743-9576, 800-743-9576. WLRN.
Or if you'd rather not speak and hear that, you can email radio at WLRN.org.
Right. And of course, with us, our favorite wine guy, as always, is Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine suggestions in my Dinner Minutes column in the Miami Herald. And also, his wine column is on Saturdays in the Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, I'm going to talk about how to order wine in a restaurant, assuming the waiter can hear you.
Or maybe it just has to be point and show, huh?
Maybe you could email it in.
Okay.
Fred goes to those places with the wandering violinists.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, Fred, you told me that in Michigan they have the same noise problem in some restaurants.
Yeah, they do. In Traverse City, the downtown, the really pretty buildings were built around 1900 in the lumber boom, and they all have wood floors and those pretty pressed tin ceilings, and those are just perfect surfaces to bounce all the noise right back at you.
Okay, well, we're going to talk more about that. Adele Sandberg, when we first got together and talked about this, you told me that the noise level in the restaurants was actually dangerous. So what did you mean?
Well, restaurant noise is dangerous because it can cause permanent hearing loss. And, you know, we have 18,000 tiny hair cells in our inner ear.
Well, we didn't know that back then.
Well, now everyone knows. And loud sound can damage these tiny hair cells, and then they can no longer transmit sound to the brain. So it results in permanent hearing loss. And this can happen so gradually that you are unaware of it, and it can go undetected for years.
Well, if we're only there for an hour or so, is that bad for us?
Well, it depends how loud the sound level is. You know, restaurant levels can go up to 97, even 100 decibels, and permanent hearing loss can begin after half an hour or so.
Well, what about, you know, the restaurant staff? They're there all the time. What happens?
Well, they're at even greater risk because they're spending extended time in a location that has dangerous sound levels. You know, often they're there for 8 hours or more a day, and you can listen safely to up to 85 decibels for an 8 hour period of time, but over that level, sound begins to harm
hearing. So it's like the old days of secondhand smoke.
Exactly.
But explain also what you explained, that from 85 it goes...
It's a logarithmic scale.
Right.
So 85 decibels is safe for up to 8 hours. But for every 3 decibel increase in sound, it doubles the sound pressure, which means that you can only safely listen for half as long. So at 88 decibels, you can listen for 4 hours, and at 91 decibels, you can listen at 2. But when you get above 100 decibels, you're talking about 15 minutes, and above 115 decibels, hearing loss begins in mere seconds.
I read on your website that 1 out of 5 teenagers, that's 20% of teenagers, suffers from noise-induced hearing loss by the age of 19.
Yes, we actually are facing an epidemic of noise-induced hearing loss in our country. And
is that permanent hearing loss?
This is permanent hearing loss.
And, you can never gain that back?
You can't go to a doctor to repair it, and eventually when you need hearing aids, that will not bring back normal hearing.
It's similar to overexposure to sun. It hits you later in life, too.
That's right. It happens gradually. You have no idea because you can't feel it. There's no pain associated with hearing loss. And so the years go by, and then one day you're in real trouble, you need hearing aids, and you can't get that hearing back.
So, you know, actually, I was in one restaurant that was quite noisy, and I asked the manager that could she turn it down, otherwise I had to leave, because the waiter couldn't hear me, let alone my friends, right? So right. She said, and then I mentioned that we were going to talk about this on air, and she said, she actually thanked me. She said, I need this job, I have to be here all day, and I know I'm losing my hearing.
But you know, Linda, often when you go to the managers or the waiters or whomever, they're loath to turn down
company
the
policy,
music,
yeah.
And they say either they show some annoyance, or they say they can't do it.
Well, you know, I've complained in restaurants because I'm so aware of this problem, and most of the time, the manager will turn down the volume. The problem is that a few minutes later,
right,
they turn it back up. So what I would ask people to do is, when the music is too loud, ask your server to get the manager, politely ask the manager to turn it down, and if it goes back up, repeat the request.
Right. Go ahead. Bonnie, did you have?
We have a couple of emails. Matthew says, what a great show. I thought I was the only one who hated noisy restaurants. I thought I was just getting old. Well, maybe, is that part of it? Isn't it age partly?
Well, you know, I have to say that the other day I was with some media people, and she has to cover all the music conferences at concerts. And she was 25 maybe. And she said to me, she showed me her earphones. She said, I can't stand it. So it's not just age. It happens to all of us. I'd like to give out our phone number because we'd love to hear from you what you think about restaurants. Maybe you love the sound. So it's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Let us know your take on the restaurant noise. Bonnie,
what I'm wondering is whether anybody has come up with a polite but effective way of asking the people at the very next table to quit screaming and laughing at the top of their lungs.
There you have to be careful.
Without getting a fight, you know.
Well, you know, part of the reason that they're having to speak so loud is that the background music is loud. And so in order to be heard over that background noise, people have to practically scream across the tables.
Of course, some people think that they have to immediately take the table that the maitre d' or seater gives you. Of course, you have that choice. I always scope ahead. If I see a big table set up for 12 people, I know I'm going to go away from that as far as possible.
Or a loudspeaker, right, if you can avoid them.
Or you can call ahead.
In the ceiling, usually.
Call ahead and say, are you having any big parties? What is your quietest table? And can you save that table for me?
And if there are other things restaurants can do as well. One of the things is if they're going to be having a large party, they can put that party in the corner rather than in the center of a room, and that will also help to lower the decibel level.
It also can be really tough around the holidays, as sometimes you have company parties going on, and there's a lot of drinking going on and toasts and all that, and then you have the birthdays at the chain restaurants going on.
People want to enjoy themselves and have fun. So as I said, what's a happy medium? But Bonnie, you had an email?
Paul writes, I've heard that excessive restaurant noise is helpful in attractive, younger, good-looking females. good-looking females, because the noise provides a modicum of protection against unwanted advances. Good-looking women, in turn, attract more men, increasing sales, so I've heard.
Well, he's got it all figured out.
Well, it's very interesting, but also those loud, noisy restaurants stop conversation. So if these are young adults and they really don't want to talk to each other, they just want to kind of eye each other and see who looks, you know.
You mean handsome. When they're not looking at their cell phone.
Right, that's right, that's right. Sure, that will help. There are generational differences.
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to take a short break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guests today are Adele Sandberg and Sherilyn Adler. We're talking about, as you can imagine, noise levels in restaurants. And we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more.
Today's food and dining program was recorded in January, so no calls or emails, please. But if you'd like to share your feedback about noise levels in restaurants, you can do so at earpiecefoundation.org. That's EARPEACE. Thank you.
And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and our guests today are Adele Sandberg. She's the founder of Earpiece, Save Your Hearing Foundation. And Dr. Sherilyn Adler, she's the executive director of Earpiece Foundation. We've been talking about noise levels in restaurants, why they can be dangerous, and what restaurants can do to keep the vibe while lowering the noise. And we have several calls coming in. Let's take line one. Nestor and Kendall. Hello, Nestor. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make a couple of comments. First, I agree totally with the doctor. A loss of hearing is a big problem. I'm a professional musician. I play concerts from very large concerts to very small venues. And the noise level can be extremely high in a lot of the venues. I would like to distinguish between two things. One is the electronic sound that comes out of speakers, and the other one from the live musicians. I don't want there to be a bad perception that having live musicians in venues is a bad thing. Live musicians, when they play acoustically, usually the sound is much lower than having the boom, boom blast in the background of the restaurant. And I've had many situations where I'm performing in a restaurant, and during the performance, I have a certain volume, but when they put in the intermission music, it's super loud. There seems to be a numbing of the ear from people in general to the electronic sound coming out of speakers versus the sound
That's a very good point, but let me ask you, because so often when there is a musician in the restaurant, it's electronic. They put their stuff on a speaker or whatever, and it gets very, very loud.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's also a problem of communication with the restaurants, because you can have, I'm a saxophonist, I'm a professional saxophonist, and in many occasions the restaurant owner is thinking of the visuals other than the hearing. And when you try to advise them, they're very rude. Usually they put you aside. So, you know, I've had occasions where they put me 3 or 2 feet away from the restaurant diners, which is ridiculous. I have a saxophone. You know, put me a few feet away so there's a distance. You know, when you have an acoustic instrument, you don't want to be on top of people. You want to have
sure.
a safe distance
right.
from them.
Well, thank
so they
you.
Can enjoy it.
We have several calls, but thank you for your comments.
I found that the large corporate restaurants like the Ruby Tuesdays and Chili's and that tend to be really much louder than others. In fact, we had an emailer here that just talked about.
If you want me to
ask Ruby Tuesdays to lower the music, and they gave him some.
No,
trouble.
They said they would. He said at Don Carlin Cuban restaurant, asked the manager, she was rude to my wife. We stopped visiting that restaurant. We've experienced loud noise levels at Ruby Tuesday. They've lowered it, but again, we've stopped going.
Now, if you go to Hard Rock, you expect the music to be going.
And, he says that it should be at a reasonable level and the music type in accord with the restaurant atmosphere.
Right. Well, let's go. We have a somebody with an opposite opinion, line 2. This is Kim in Deerfield Beach. Hi, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I would like to say that my husband and I go out to nice restaurants with another couple, different couples. We're laughing. We're telling stories. We're having a great time. And more times than not, we are shushed. And it, of course, casts a pall over the evening. And we have actually been asked to leave. And I'm in my 40s. My husband's in my 50s. We're out to have fun. And our thought is, if you want quiet, then stay home.
Okay. Well, that's another opinion. Maybe you could have fun a little quieter. I don't know. But thank you for your call, Kim. Kim, thank you. Okay. We have Caesar in Plantation. Hi, Caesar. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to say that I have also noticed this trend of extremely loud music and extremely loud environment. And I have pretty much decided, my wife and I go out quite a bit. We go out to fine restaurants. We also go out to the chains. And I've decided to vote with my wallet. I will, if the atmosphere is such that I can't speak or hear my wife talking to me, I will go and I will ask for management and I will let them know why I am walking out.
Okay.
We are so blessed being in South Florida that there are so many choices. I'm from Boston originally. We also have a huge dining culture there. And quite frankly, people just have to vote with their wallet. That lady that likes it loud, she can absolutely go to the loud restaurants. And those of us that want to be able to talk to our partner and catch up and have a nice glass of wine, we can go to the quieter restaurant.
I feel like an old fuddy-duddy sometimes because I'm bothered by the music, and it seems like everyone else is oblivious to it, though.
But the problem is that the people who go to the loud restaurants, they don't understand that they are actually putting their hearing at risk, that many of them are going to walk out having lost some of their hearing.
You know, you have
Caesar,
this,
thanks for your call.
Thank you. You have this restaurant noise project I saw on your website. What is that?
Yeah. We are interested in people's opinions, like the callers who have called in. And so what Earpiece Foundation has done is to create a survey that you can find on our website. And what we're hoping,
which is
earpiecefoundation.org.
Peace is P-E-A-C-E.
Thank you, Linda. And it's a survey to assess noise levels. And so after you go to a restaurant, you can go to our website and tell us if you were able to hold a conversation easily or if it was difficult to do so. You can talk about what the volume of music was, if you asked for it to be reduced, if the management was cooperative or not, and then we will be looking at what you tell us, and we will be letting people know.
Linda and Fred, you've been in the newspaper business for many years. Why don't they include the noise levels in reviews?
That
I was
just
about to ask about that.
Yeah.
Maybe you could actually have something that measures the noise and report it in your critique.
Well, you do have an app, don't you?
This is very interesting. I mean, this is a problem across the country. The noise levels in restaurants has been soaring. And so about more than 15 years ago, so many diners in San Francisco complained that the San Francisco The San Francisco Chronicle, they began incorporating noise ratings into the restaurant reviews. And since then, other newspapers have followed suit, including the Washington Post. And I think if enough of us here in South Florida make our voices heard, that maybe our local newspapers will also start to incorporate the rating for noise in addition to rating for food and rating for
service.
Right,
and so let's say that you can, a lot of people tell me, what can I do? You can go to the website of earpiecefoundation.org, scroll down to the noise survey, and they are going to then see how many people write in and see what's going to go, and they're going to report on what that survey says.
Here's a good question from Dave in Miami. What about OSHA and the noise limit for workers' exposure?
Yes, we wanted to get to that. So let's talk about, are there regulations that govern this noise problem?
We had a consumer advocate here yesterday. We didn't think to ask her.
There are actually organizations that regulate noise levels for occupations. One is called OSHA, which is Occupational Safety and Health Association, and the other one is called NIOSH, which is the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. And actually, NIOSH does have regulations for restaurants, and they require that if restaurants where the decibel level is 85 dB or higher, they must provide ear protection and hearing tests for their employees.
90 dB average is equal to a gas lawnmower.
Yes, which is safe to listen to for about 2 hours. And if you're an employee in a restaurant, you're there for at least 8.
You know, in Miami at the Arch Center's concert hall, they have cloth drapes that they run up and down the back wall and that sort of thing to help deaden the sound. Do you ever see that in restaurants?
Well, the trend today is for more contemporary, sleek looks in restaurants, and that has exacerbated the problem with the decibel levels. But yes, there are things that can be done. Restaurants can turn down the volume of the music. They can turn the lighting down because it's found that the brighter the lights, the louder people talk.
Really?
And they can incorporate more sound-absorbent materials. They can use tablecloths. They can put up drapes or use rugs. And if they don't want to detract from the design, they can do things like using acoustical tile in their ceilings and absorbent things underlaying the tables.
Because often it is the acoustics.
Yeah. Let's go to line two.
Let's go to line one
okay,
first.
Okay, line four. Adriana in Delray Beach. Hi,
yes,
Adriana.
Hi, Thank you. Thank you for this show. I'm so glad this is coming, an issue that's coming to be talked about it, because for a long time now, we have started to select restaurants by the level of noise to go. We don't go only for food. We go to interact, to talk to people that we haven't seen in a while. And nowadays, people already communicate so much with texting and all. I mean, how can we have don't have the opportunity anymore to even talk lively when we are in a restaurant to interact with people. And I have a 20-year-old, and she feels the same way a lot of times when she's with us. And
so it's not it's throughout the generations.
Yeah. Yes, it
Adriana,
is.
Adriana, thank you so much for your
even
call.
Even my friends are starting to select restaurants by noise, so I'm glad this coming.
Well, join the survey. You go and let us know on the survey.
I will.
We have a lot of callers coming
thank
in.
You.
I want to try to get to them. Robert in Pembroke Pines. Hello, Robert. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. First, I want to thank you for bringing to our attention a seriously neglected subject. Personally, I refuse to eat in any restaurant where noise is a problem. I was involved with the hearing loss when I was in the Army, and at that time, the government was spending millions of dollars for personnel who had hearing loss. I can only imagine what we are now paying for this problem. I have many friends who are at an age where they are dealing with hearing loss. And I think young people should be aware of the fact that this is, as was discussed, a gradual problem over many, many years. And the end result is, for many of us, we have hearing loss requiring a hearing aid, And I have essentially no friends who are very happy with the hearing aids that they're using. Right. So it's a right. serious problem. Okay. We have no real solution to. And the sooner people are aware of it and take appropriate action to protect their hearing. Right.
Well, and Robert, let you me know, just say that you mentioned something that Adele wants to
yeah,
mention.
You know, you mentioned the financial cost, and the financial cost for our country is enormous. It's estimated that we are spending between $122 billion and $186 billion every year because of this problem. And on a personal level, hearing loss leads to problems at work and lower productivity. So for a person, the estimate is $300,000 every year over the course of their lifetime for reduced job performance, so they get lower pay, and then they have treatment costs.
Okay, and go ahead.
Before the break, you had something you wanted to say, Sherilyn?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that in addition to the financial costs, there are other health costs that have nothing to do with hearing loss. We've been talking about hearing loss, but hearing loss has been shown to be one consequence of intense noise. But there are a lot of studies that show headaches, stress, insomnia, high blood pressure. There are even studies showing that that loud sound exposure can lead to heart disease.
Wow. Well, on that note, we're going to take a break from this. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guests today are Adele Sandberg and Sherilyn Adler. And we're talking about noise levels in restaurants. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And our guests today are Adele Sandberg. She's the founder of Earpiece Save Your Hearing Foundation, and Dr. Sherilyn Adler. She's the executive director of the Earpiece Foundation. We've been talking about noise levels in restaurants, why they can be dangerous, and what restaurants can do to keep their vibe but lower the noise. Adele, you wanted to talk to something. There's several studies going on concerning this. What did you find?
Yes, the studies have very interesting findings. They've found that loud music leads to faster eating, more drinking, less conversation, and quicker turnover. Mm-hmm. And there was a study reported in the New York Times, for example, that the Hard Rock Cafe has this down to a science ever since its founders realized that by playing loud, fast music, patrons talked less, consumed more, and left quickly. Another study showed that the louder the music, the more beer people drank. So we need to make consumers aware that loud music can influence your food and alcohol choices. Consumption. And I wonder how listeners feel when they realize that they are being manipulated into eating and drinking more by restaurants that are purposely having loud noise for their own financial profit, and that's at the expense of putting their patrons and employees at risk for permanent hearing damage.
That's funny because Gilbert writes about that, and he wonders why these restaurants are so successful, so that's the answer.
Right.
So you pick your restaurant, right?
You
go,
pick
go to
go.
The survey. I also wanted to just quickly say that we talked about decibels and all, and how do you know what they are? And Adele and Sherilyn showed me an app on my telephone that I can test the decibels, so I can see what it's all about. And maybe if we all did that and we went up to a manager and said, here's your decibels and what it is, maybe we'd get some response.
So what's the app?
She sent it to me. There are several different ones, ones for iPhone, ones for Android, and I'm going to put it on my website. I post it up there, and you can see what all the apps, what the good apps. There are many, many apps, but they've tested the different apps. We have several telephone calls, Jeff.
Who would you like to take?
I was going to take a line of five to start with. Brian, you're at Wilton Mariners. Brian at Wilton Mariners, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a recently retired speech-language pathologist, and I have considerable experience with hearing disorders, and I'm a hearing aid user myself. And I am aware that up to half of the hearing loss that people experience as they grow older is noise-induced hearing loss.
In other words, Brian, the two women here are both shaking their heads. They've done all of these studies, yeah. And they know that this is what is happening. And that's why Adele created this foundation to make people aware.
And that's, well, I'm calling to support that.
Wonderful.
And I'm also suggesting that people take ear protection into loud restaurants with them. I carry earplugs with me whenever I go out.
Well, on that note, they're both shaking their heads. Yes, so much. They have. tell us about the ear.
Yes, you know, this is really important. I carry earplugs with me wherever I go. And now you can go online, and for less than $20, you can get earplugs that are very small, and they have a tiny filter, which lowers the decibel level, but still allows you to hear and to converse wherever you are. So I just suggest...
And you can't even see them when they're on.
Nope, they don't show, and they're reusable, and you can go online and get them, and there's information about that on our website.
I'd like to hear some restaurant managers have them call in and ask them about their policies and why they do select to opt to have such loud music in their restaurants.
I think they'd be afraid now.
I don't think so. No.
Well, line four. Jason in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really love your show. Listen to it all the time.
Great.
Two comments. First of all, my friends and I are an anomaly to those studies about drinking more and spending more in a loud place because we leave. And I won't frequent the place. And as to the woman who said that we should stay home because she makes too much noise, it's apparent if she's been asked to leave a numerous restaurant, she's the issue. I will not go into a loud restaurant. I go out with my friends to converse and have a good meal. And it disturbs me greatly when the restaurant wants to play the loud music. I don't get it. Makes no sense to me. Thank you for taking my call,
Thank you. Go ahead. Bonnie, you have several emails.
This is an interesting one. Lauren writes, she works with the only Miami-based background music provider, Image Sound America. She says, we program 100% customized soundtracks for restaurants. We install custom AV systems. One huge issue is that restaurants tend to skimp on their audio equipment. An audio system that's set up specifically for their space can create a more even spread out sound. For example, two cheap speakers set to blaring sounds 1,000 times worse than several speakers spread out at a reasonable volume.
Yeah, one table gets blasted out and the other one has a reasonable sound.
So she says, so it's Image Sound Americas and they do that. So, okay.
So, well, that's interesting. So you're saying that more speakers, good quality ones, is better?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
About line one.
Line one. Yes, hi. George in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the air. George, are you with us?
Yes. I couldn't hear.
Now you can hear.
Okay. Years ago, I've been in South Florida 30 years, and I'm about 55. There was a club, a nightclub called Mother Blues, I think it was, in Hollywood. And the music was so loud that, and this was 20 years ago, I guess, and I would go in there, and the crowd, and I would put my fingers in my ears walking through, and I got derided by people in the crowd for doing that. It was like they were disgusted with me. And so I'm wondering if even if putting your fingers in your ears is going to did I have any damage?
Okay. Thank you for your call.
Well, that would help your ears, of course.
Right.
If you don't have ear protection with you, that's what's recommended, is to put your fingers in your ears. Sometimes
you can't.
What
he said is,
well, I don't know that you would spend the evening with your fingers in your ears, but I know we tell kids when there's a fire alarm at school, a fire drill, and they're right next to the blaring alarm that will protect their
hearing. In this building makes your ears move. You can feel your eardrum going back and forth on it.
But you know, as restaurant patrons, we're the ones who are paying these establishments, and I think they need to provide a comfortable environment. If you go into a restaurant that is so loud and blasting and you don't have ear protection, we would advise you to leave.
Kathleen writes that timing is everything. This is a very good point. Many diners feel a noisy restaurant's a lively one and actually avoid places that are quiet and empty. But if the noise really bothers you, go early, as close as possible.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a, you don't want to be in a mortuary.
Well, go early, as close as to the time that it starts, that it opens. You'll get your pick of tables. The management will be much more receptive to your request to turn down the volume if there aren't many tables. And going early, you get your choice of tables. It even works at Joe's, and some rooms are a lot quieter than others.
Well, also, let's talk about the medium level here. We don't want to walk into, as you say, mortuary. We want to have a vibe. We want it to be fun. And so how can restaurants create this vibe with the music and still make it acceptable to everyone?
Well, you know, there was an interesting study that was done in Champaign, Illinois, where somebody took a Hardee's fast food restaurant, which is very noisy, and tried to see what would happen if we made part of it into a kind of upscale experience. And what they did is they took an area of the restaurant where they lowered the lighting and they played soft jazz music. And they found that the people actually did order and eat less food. However, they enjoyed their food much more. So
they lost money.
The restaurant, yes, because we found that loud music makes you eat more and eat faster.
Is that because can't hear and can't speak, so there's nothing else to do but eat?
And it also, some researchers have felt that it leads to a higher body arousal, a physical arousal, and that just speeds up everything.
Sharon?
There are also studies that show that music affects the taste of our food.
I was going to ask you about that. You told me one time that's why they put more salt in airline food?
Well, what happens is that loud noise makes you crave savory things. And what happens is some studies have shown that food tastes better in quieter environments. And there was a study done in the UK that salty foods and sweet foods are diminished when they're eaten in very loud environments. And so sometimes up to 30%. And so you could imagine that might influence how foods are received by patrons as well, and why so much of our food might be
more sugar in it.
Exactly. So that
to compensate for
and
that.
And if they just lowered the music, they would be able to use less.
Well, okay.
How about the Vichy Choix with Motley Crue?
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break, Joe Cooper. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guests today are Adele Sandberg and Dr. Sherilyn Adler. We're talking about noise level in restaurants. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more.
Today's Food and Dining program was recorded in January, so no calls or emails, please. But if you'd like to share your feedback about noise levels in restaurants, you can do so at earpiecefoundation.org. That's EARPEACE. Thank you.
And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And our guests today are Adele Sandberg. She's the founder of the Earpiece Save Your Hearing Foundation. And Dr. Sherilyn Adler. She's the executive director of the Earpiece Foundation. We've been talking about noise levels in restaurants, why they can be dangerous, and what restaurants can do to keep the vibe while lowering the music. So there might be some nights when you're not going to a restaurant and you want to have a nice, quiet dinner at home. So this is dinner in minutes time. And it's an almond chicken with orange honey sauce and garlic, zucchini, and tomatoes. Real simple recipe. I use boneless chicken cutlets. Now, you can buy those in the supermarket, and they're only about a half inch thick, so they take about 4 to 5 minutes to cook. The orange juice, I use orange juice thickened with honey to coat the chicken. So here's what you do. I dip the chicken in some cornstarch, and you'll like this part, Fred. I know you will. You lace the flour with a little hot pepper flakes.
Outstanding.
I know you like that. And then you saute the chicken and take it out of the pan. And then I add orange juice and honey to the skillet, the same skillet. And then I want to thicken it a little more, so I have a little bit of cornstarch I mix with the a little orange juice and put that in the pan. Thickens up in seconds. Serve the sauce of the chicken, some sliced almonds on top. Very, very easy. And the side dish is even easier because I make it in the microwave. So I take zucchini to make it look a little prettier, and rather than slice it, I cut them into strips. And I microwave those with a little crushed garlic. And I take it out and I toss it with some grape tomatoes, a little olive oil, and I cover it for a few seconds, and then the tomatoes gather the heat of the zucchini. That's it. Very simple, very easy. The complete recipe and a photo. That's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Well, I want to talk about, if you can make yourself heard in a restaurant, how you can go about ordering wine without going broke.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's always good to spend less money if you can. And what you do, the big name wines, the Bordeaux and the Burgundies and the California Cabs and that sort of thing, might be more than you want to pay. So if they are, what you do is turn the page to some less famous wines like Zinfandel, Syrah, Cabernet Franc, and the white wine, red wines. And in the white wines, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Grigio, that sort of thing. Those are usually a little cheaper. Or it's also cheaper to go to less famous wine areas. You can check out the wines from Australia, Chile, Argentina, New Zealand, even Romania and Bulgaria these days.
Okay, so we don't want to say we're being cheap. We're just looking for good wine at a good price. Is that right?
No, I'm trying to be cheap.
Actually. Oh, I knew that, Fred.
Here's a good tip now. Never, ever, ever try to keep down the bill by ordering the second cheapest wine on the list. That's such an overused, worn-out ploy that the waiter may actually snicker at you if you try that.
Oh, nice. Good.
Yeah. And if you're not sure how to pronounce the wine, just point to it on the list. Maybe he can't hear you anyway. So order it by its number, or but because the waiter probably can't pronounce it either. And if the waiter presents the bottle to you, what you want to do is check the label very carefully to be sure it's the wine you ordered. Otherwise, you might get a $200 surprise when the bill comes.
You know, Fred, that's something that often we've found lately, that they bring us a bottle that we didn't order. Not that it's in a different price range. They just didn't have what we want, so they brought something else and thought we wouldn't notice or we didn't care. I don't know.
I'd rather have a noisy restaurant than that.
Well, sometimes my husband will say to them, you know, hey, you know, what is this wine? And they'll open it with and they'll give us an option to taste it before we take it.
There were a couple of guys in South Beach a few years ago who got a $1,000 surprise and ended up getting in a fist fight. So have to be careful about that.
Okay.
Now, when the overall meal bill arrives, I think it's easiest to simply tip 20% of the wine's cost along with the price of the meal. Although that works up to about $50 a bottle. I wouldn't tip 20% on a $200 bottle because it's no more work to open an expensive bottle than a cheap one. And please remember what wine you ordered. Write it down so you can get it again if you liked it, or avoid it if you didn't.
Great advice, as always. Thank you, Fred Tasker. Let's go to line two. Tara in Hollywood, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm actually a former manager for two corporate restaurants. I'm not sure if I should name them.
Yeah, go ahead, name them.
Restaurants.
Which ones?
But part of our training is to, and our handbook is volume and when to turn up the volume, when to turn it down. And one of your callers is saying timing is everything. That's exactly right. Once 7 o'clock hits, you turn it up to loud as possible, loud enough so the waitress can hear what you're ordering, but we wanted to keep it loud primarily just for the reasons that were mentioned, to have the alcohol sales go up and the food sales go up and turn your tables as quick as possible. So that's not a fluke thing. That's how basically all restaurants are.
Well, that's rather disturbing to hear, I think.
That is very interesting.
Well, though, you could make the furniture uncomfortable then, too.
Well, and it's also, I guess it would be the restaurant type as well, where I worked at, where it was geared more towards sports, like sports bar type setting, or family restaurant where, you know, kids were going to be loud anyhow. So,
well, you expect that at the Ale House or something.
Right, right. Yeah, a lot of just popular places, and usually, you know, you gear towards a certain age group as it is, and they're probably used to the loud music. But that
is there any time when you turn the volume down?
Yes, lunchtime, we definitely turned it down, and then obviously during the periods before lunch and dinner. We turned it down, but you know, and then, you know, whenever we had some, when it wasn't as full, you know, a guest that asked for us to turn it down, we would. But part of the corporate guidelines, they had probably a two-page section just on volume in the management training.
Wow, that's very interesting. Thank you, Tara. Thank you for your call. Sherilyn, you had something?
Yes, she mentioned children. We really haven't talked about that, but, you know, children also go to restaurants.
Just like a plane, I always get them.
And children are also impacted by the overexposure to loud sound. And, you know, we talked about the consequences of it. And even a mild hearing loss in a child can result in 37% of kids with mild hearing losses repeating a grade in school.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about a huge social consequence. For our young people who really aren't able to protect themselves, they don't usually have the option of deciding to pick themselves up and leave a restaurant. And so,
and you see lots and lots of families coming in with babies in a stroller asleep.
Yeah.
But that's still a problem. Go ahead, Bonnie.
So Michael is writing about a restaurant asking for ratings from customers regarding food and service, suggesting that they also have a place on the evaluation card for rating noise levels. So Michael might have missed what we talked about earlier. So
explain,
Adele, survey.
About newspapers, you
no,
mean?
The noise
no, the survey. For the noise.
Oh.
That we have a survey on our website.
Yes, they should go to our website. We are having a survey where you can report if you could have a conversation in a comfortable atmosphere, or if the music was too loud or the background noise was too loud. You can tell us if you asked the manager to turn the music down, whether they complied. And you can just give us your feedback, and we are going to be collecting all of this data, and we will give results. It will be published on our website.
And your website is?
Again, www.earpeace, P-E-A-C-E, Foundation. Earpiecefoundation.org.
Right, and we only have a few seconds left, but I want to say that I'm on dinnerandminutes.com. I'm going to put up all the information as to the apps for if you want to have a decibel level on your phone, and all the other information about the website, etc. We could go on. We have so many people we haven't been able to get to.
And
I'm
emailers.
Sorry. And emailers.
Sorry.
So this obviously is an important topic for everyone. Adele Sandberg, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
And Cheryl
Linda.
Adler, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Bonnie and Joe.
Thank you.
This was a topic that we were all very, very interested in.
Absolutely.
And thank you, Fred Tasker.
Always a pleasure.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer.
Up our program for today. Our producer is Richard Ives, with technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Polly Landis is associate producer. Find free audio archives of each program at our website, WLRN.org. You can also weigh in on our Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1, it's Here and Now. Monday, Joe is back, and we return with journalist and author Melody Warnick. We'll discuss her book, This Is Where You Belong, The Art and Science of Loving the Place You Live. On this June 16th, it's World Sea Turtle Day. Bonnie Berman for Joseph Cooper. Enjoy your weekend. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.